Welcome to the Sunday Sermon Podcast from Sunnyvale First Baptist Church. We are so excited that you are here. Each week, Dr. Darren Biles brings a powerful message from God's Word to help us grow in faith and live out His truth. As Romans 10:17 reminds us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So wherever you're listening from, get ready to be encouraged and equipped. We're continuing our series entitled In Christ, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Ephesians, and today we're continuing also in chapter 4. Pastor, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I hope by this point in our study of Ephesians, you have picked up on a common theme of Paul and his writings about our walk. And today, we're talking about what it means to be renewed in Christ, to resemble Christ in our walk. And Paul says, in Christ, we don't walk like we used to walk. We didn't learn Christ that way. We are to be renewed in our walk in Christ.
So folks, take your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, and let's get started.
I did something the other day that most computer people tell you you're not supposed to do. I gave somebody access to my computer. Now, normally, that's a very dangerous thing to do. We have an IT company that works with our church staff, and they were doing some updates on my computer, but they couldn't do it here, so they were doing it remotely. And so I called them and got a technician that I know and we've worked with, and then we went through a series of things on my computer where I had to click a few buttons and allow him access to my computer. Pretty soon, he's moving the cursor around on the screen, and in that moment, he had access to everything on my computer. And I thought later a lesson about that. Do you and I ever do that with God? Do you ever allow him access to make changes in your life? Not limited access, but total access to every part of your life. This morning, we're going to look at a lesson from the Apostle Paul challenging us to allow God to make a change in your life so that when he's done, you don't look the same, you don't think the same, you don't act the same, you are new in Christ. And so this morning, I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, do you need a change of clothes? If you brought your Bible, let me invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We are continuing our series through the book of Ephesians entitled In Christ. And we are picking up on a theme that Paul began in the first part of Ephesians chapter 4. We've seen this theme of walking several times. We'll see it again here in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17, Paul writes, "So I say this and affirm in the Lord, you are to no longer walk just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts, and they, being callous, have given themselves up to indecent behavior for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." Ephesians chapter 4 began with the admonition, walk worthy of the calling of God in your life. That was Paul's admonition, and we have seen how walk, the imagery of walking, has to do with a lifestyle. So when Paul says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, Paul is saying, make sure your life is worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, of the calling that God has made on your life. Now, Paul begins this next section continuing that same idea of walking, but he begins with a somewhat emphatic explanation. I say and affirm in the Lord. Now, Paul's about to make an exhortation. This is going to be the urgent appeal that Paul is making. This is going to be the capstone, the central focus of this passage. I say and testify. So I say, I proclaim, and then I testify, which is sort of a courtroom kind of language. I bear witness. in the Lord. I place my hand over the Bible. I say and I testify in the Lord. So Paul is saying, not only am I making this claim and testifying from my own experience, I've tried this, this is what you should do. He is also calling God as witness. I say and testify to you in the Lord that you are to no longer walk like Gentiles walk. Now, the interesting thing about this section, Paul is writing to a church that is primarily made up of Gentiles. And Paul is saying to them, I'm saying to you, don't walk like Gentiles walk. Now, that would be something like Paul saying to us today, don't walk like Americans walk. Which, when you think about it, probably makes sense in this same context. I know that's who you are. Don't walk that way. Well, Paul is using not only the word Gentile to describe their ethnic background, but he is using that to describe a contrast between Jew and Gentile, or believer and unbeliever. You are to no longer walk in that same lifestyle, that same context, that same idea. There are some things that in Christ you are to no longer do. I don't do those same things that I did before. I don't think those same thoughts that I thought before. I don't act the same way. I don't spend my money the same way. I don't live the same way I did before Christ. You are to no longer walk like Gentiles. Paul is saying to them, there needs to be a difference in your life. And notice the word that he uses, they walk in the futility of their minds. Now, hold that thought, because Paul is going to circle back to that idea of the mind later on in the passage. They walk in futility, emptiness, meaninglessness. Their lifestyle, the way they live, the way they act, the way they think is meaningless. It's empty. It accomplishes no purpose. It is pursuing no gain. It is an empty lifestyle, and you are to no longer, implying that's the way you used to walk. You are to no longer walk according to emptiness, futility. In other words, if you talk like a believer, but live like an unbeliever, it's going to be very difficult to convince someone of the change that Jesus Christ has made in your life. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life ought to look different. You are to no longer live the way you used to live before Christ. All those things, all those actions, all those lifestyles, that ought to be different. And now, beginning there, Paul sets up a contrast. So this passage that we're looking at this morning is based on two sentences in the Greek. They are parallel in that both sentences contain a threefold unit. The first describing the problem, the second describing the solution. This is who you used to be. This is who you are to be. So now Paul says, there are some things that I want you to no longer do because they are based on futility. And then beginning there, Paul describes what that futility looks like. The futility is described in verses 18 and 19. And there are three participles that Paul is using to describe the cause of their futility. Your translation may describe them as having or being or doing, but it is an ongoing lifestyle that typified their life before Christ. So there were three things that Paul said described their lifestyle of futility. And the first is there in the first part of verse 18, being darkened in their understanding. You're to no longer walk like the Gentiles walked. That's futility. They were darkened in their understanding. Their understanding was dark. So Paul has one word to describe their mindset. The mindset of an unbeliever, the mindset of someone outside of Christ, their mind is dark. Now, Paul's using an imagery often used in Scripture, the contrast of light and dark. If light refers to illumination spiritually, not just physically, if light refers to insight or recognition of the things of God in Christ, then darkness, by contrast, is the inability or perhaps even the refusal to recognize the truth of the light. You are to no longer walk in the way that you used to walk because that's dark. And they need light to expose their darkness. So one of the reasons their minds were futile is because their minds, their imagination, their understanding was dark. But now go on, middle of verse 18, not only were their minds dark, but they were estranged from God. They were darkened in their understanding and excluded from the life of God. That's a fascinating phrase. They were excluded, not included, outside, away from, distant from. They were estranged from God, from their Creator. They were estranged from the life of God. Now look at the last part of verse 18, and I want you to note two uses of the word because. Why were they distant from God? Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardness of their heart. So they were estranged from God because they were ignorant and hard-hearted. Now, ignorance here does not necessarily mean unintelligent. What it means is uninformed. They did not know. But not only were they ignorant, they were hard-hearted. So this is what you looked like in your life before Christ. You did not know the truth. That's ignorance. And your heart was so hard, you did not want to know what you did not know. You were ignorant and hard-hearted. And so Paul says part of the reason they were futile in their minds is because, first of all, their understanding was dark. Second of all, they did not know the truth and didn't want to. And as a result, they were distant from God. So they had a futile lifestyle, one, because their understanding was dark, two, because they were distant from God. But now look at verse 19. Note the third characteristic. They, having become callous, have given themselves up to indecent behavior for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. So not only was their understanding dark and they were distant from God, but their lives were unclean. And he begins that phrase in verse 19, describing a condition of their heart, they having become callous. You ever had a callous? Maybe from working in the yard or working in the field, working with tools, or maybe playing a musical instrument. And you do that so often, initially it hurts. But after a while, your fingers build up a callus. And you know what a callus is? It's a thickening of the skin so that you've lost feeling in that part of your hand. But Paul is saying they were calloused in their heart. Their hearts had gotten to the point that they were beyond feeling. They didn't even feel conviction. It's reading in Jeremiah chapter 6. God said of the people, they have lost the ability to blush. They're not even ashamed anymore. They're not convicted by their sin anymore. They are callous. And Paul says that's the picture of someone outside of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Their understanding is dark, they're distant from God, and their hearts are so callous that they, watch this, give themselves up to indecent behavior. That word, give themselves up, means surrender. They surrender themselves. Notice, they are not forced into indecent behavior. If you sin, you can't say something or someone made me do it. You gave yourself to it. And what happens is they're so futile in their minds, they're dark in their understanding, they're distant from God, their hearts are so callous, they just give themselves over. They voluntarily give themselves up to the control of the enemy to do indecent things. And Paul doesn't define what all those indecent things, but your mind is clear enough to figure out some of the things he's talking about. They've given themselves up to indecent behavior for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That's a fascinating way to say that. They can't get enough of evil. They will stop at nothing to justify anything. They have given themselves up to every kind. They're creative in their sin. They've given themselves up to every kind of indecent behavior, and they do it with greediness. They're so happy to give themselves over to sin. They are darkened, distant, hard-hearted, unclean, and callous, and that's the picture of every person outside of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is the trajectory of their lives. They're distant from God because their minds are futile and their understanding is dark and their hearts are callous. It is the cause of their futility. Praise the Lord, Paul does not leave us there. That's the problem. That's the bad news. But there's more. Go on in verse 20. Paul says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. There's a contrast. You didn't learn Christ like this. If indeed you heard of him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. So the cause of their futility is a darkened understanding, a separation from God, and a callousness of their heart that leads to uncleanness. But now the condition of the change that needs to take place begins here, Paul says. This is not how you learn Christ. All of those old lifestyles, all those old behaviors, that is not what it looks like to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you remember that moment when you first came to faith in Jesus Christ? Do you remember the conviction that led you to profess faith in him? Do you remember that moment where the weight of your sin that causes the judgment of God on your life and ultimately the penalty of God paid by Jesus Christ? And all of a sudden, you came to that moment where your mind was opened and you began to see with clarity, this is not how you learn Christ. In other words, what Paul is saying is, if you learn Christ, then there needs to be a difference in your life from what it looked like before. This is what you used to do. This is how you used to walk. This is how you used to talk. This is how you used to live. But that is not how you learn Christ. Notice, if you learn Christ. Paul says, that's not how you learn Christ, if indeed you heard him. So if you were listening, that's not how you learn Christ. If you were paying attention to what the Word of God says, if you were paying attention to what Jesus was teaching, if you were paying attention to the work of the Spirit of God in your life, you realize that's not the way my life is supposed to look like. Too many people deceive themselves into believing they can profess faith in Jesus Christ and live like they want. That's not how you learn Christ. If you were listening, if you were paying attention, that's not what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8, verse 43, you can't hear me because you cannot hear my word. You're not listening. You don't have any understanding because you can't hear. That's what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, repeated in Mark chapter 8. My people have ears to hear, but they don't hear. They have eyes to see, but they don't see. They have the ability to hear, but they don't listen. They're not paying attention. And so Paul says, this is not how you learned Christ. If you were listening, and notice, if you were taught. I love that thought. The idea here of being taught is an idea of discipleship. If you were growing in your faith, listen, if you were listening, you would know there's a difference between the way of Christ and the way of the world. If you have been taught, if you were growing in your understanding, if you were being discipled, being conformed into the image of God and Jesus Christ, if you were listening and if you were taught. So listening is an active process, being taught is a passive process, and Paul says both of them are necessary. If you learned Christ, if you heard Christ, if you were taught by Christ, and you recognize Christ is both the instruction and the instructor. He is the truth, and he is the one teaching the truth. This is not how you learn Christ, if indeed you heard him and were taught in him, because the truth is in Jesus. Paul says there is truth, and it's in Jesus. We live in a world that longs for truth. We live in a world that searches for truth. And here's what Paul says. Listen, there's truth, and it's found in Jesus. And what that means is, apart from Jesus, you don't know the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the life, and I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the truth. There is truth. You find truth in Jesus. Now, the rest of the passage, Paul changes to what we learned. Because he just said, this is not how you learned Christ, if indeed you were paying attention and you've been taught in him, just as the truth is in him. And now beginning in verse 22, down through verse 24, Paul describes what we learn. If you were paying attention, if you were listening, if you were taught in him, this is what you would have learned in Christ. So now look at verse 22. That, in reference to your former way of life, you are to rid yourself of the old self, that is, being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Our Roman Catholic friends have something what's called a Newman list. And every year the Newman list is put out. It is a list of Catholic institutions that they recommend their parishioners to attend. I'm not necessarily talking about a Newman list. What I am talking about is a new man list. So Paul is saying, I want you to make a list here. So this is not a bucket list of things you want to do before God calls you home. This is the things that you want to be. Because of your new life in Christ, because you are new in him, this is a list of things that you are to do. So if you were listening and being taught, there are things that don't belong on that new man list. There are actions, there are thoughts, there are relationships, there are attitudes that don't belong on that list. And so there's going to be some initiative that is required on your part to complete this new man list. We've looked at the cause of their futility and the condition of their change. Note finally the characteristics of this new man. So just like we saw three things that describe the old man, now Paul gives us three things that describe the new man. This is what it means to be new in Christ. Look at the list. If you've been taught, this is what you learned. Number one, a new man must put some things off. Now, I want you to note in verse 22 and again in verse 24, Paul is intentionally using the language of changing clothes. This is the language that you would use if I'm taking off my jacket, if I'm putting on a sweater, if I'm taking something off and putting something on. This is the words that Paul would use. So first of all, to be a new person in Christ, there are some things you're going to have to take off. There are some characteristics of that old lifestyle that don't belong anymore in a new life. Because remember, Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So to become new, there are going to be some things that I've got to take off. There's some things that I've got to discontinue. Every once in a while, on my email, I go through unsubscribing all of the email lists that I've been added to that I don't want to be added to. I don't know how it happens. Maybe I wasn't reading the fine print. Maybe I signed up for something and I got added to a list. And before long, I'm getting all kinds of spam email. Do you get that? You get added to lists and you scratch your head and go, I don't want to be on this list. And so when you look closely at the very bottom of that email in very fine print, there's a word that says unsubscribe. I like that word. I can click on that word unsubscribe, and you know what happens? I am unsubscribed. Tomorrow, when I check my email, I don't get that same spam email anymore because I have unsubscribed. I no longer want that subscription in my inbox. And here's what Paul is saying. When you have subscribed to a relationship with Jesus Christ, necessarily, there are some things from which you need to unsubscribe. I don't do that anymore. I don't want to see that anymore. I don't want to think that anymore. That's the picture that Paul is using here of some things that you need to get rid of. Matthew 22. Jesus told the story about a master giving a banquet, and he invited all different kinds of people to his banquet. And finally, when the banquet day came, the master was wandering through, and he saw somebody trying to get in the banquet that didn't have the right clothes on. Do you remember that story? And the master went up to him and said, "How did you get this far with the wrong clothes?" The man's taken back, and the master said to him, "You cannot come in my house with those clothes." The metaphor that Jesus was making was, you cannot get into the banquet of heaven. You cannot get into that place that God has prepared for you if you are still living like, looking like the way you used to look. There needs to be some things that you take off, some things that you get rid of. And so Paul is saying, I want you to get rid of some things. I want you to take them off. That's not how you learn Christ. That doesn't belong on my new man list. Writer of Hebrews said it this way, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. We get rid of the obstacles, the sin that so easily entangles us. Then we run with endurance the race set before us. But I can only run to the maximum efficiency when I have taken off all of the weight that weighs me down. And here's what Paul is saying. There are some things in your life you need to get rid of. Maybe right now the Spirit of God is reminding you some things. This is your former way of life. You need to rid yourself of that old self. It's being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. The corruption that is beginning to take place is because that old lifestyle is incompatible with your new life in Christ, and so you need to take off all of those old things. D.L. Moody said, if I'm walking with the world, I am not walking with God. If I'm still wearing those old clothes, then I've not really taken hold of the new man. Those things don't belong on my new man list. Take them off. So we know, first of all, there are some things that I need to take off. And then note, secondly, in verse 23, you must also have a renewed mind. You need to take some things out of your life. You need to excise some of those bad habits, some of those bad thoughts that don't belong anymore. And now Paul says, verse 23, you are to have a renewed mind. So verse 23 is the antidote to verses 17 and 18 above. Verse 17, don't walk like the Gentiles walk. They walk in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding. So Paul doesn't leave us in that whole futile, dark mindset. Now, verse 23, the antidote is to be renewed in your mind. You have a new mind. You have a new thought process. You don't think the same way. Sin begins in your mind. So you have a new mind, no longer thinking the same futile thoughts of your old mind. You begin again. I don't wish dark and futile thoughts away. I renew my mind so they go away. It is a constant, regular vigilance in our mind that doesn't belong. Paul said in Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world. Don't allow yourself to be conformed to that old way of life. Don't allow yourself to be conformed, to be squeezed into its mold, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Transformation begins when our minds are renewed. And so Paul says, take some things out of your life. Number two, change your mind. If you're still thinking those same thoughts that you thought before Christ, you need to change your mind. If you're still doing some of the things that you used to do before Christ, you need to change your mind. If you're still hanging around people that you used to hang around and they're that evil influence in your life, you need to change your mind. If you're still living like an old man but professing to be a new man, you need to change your mind. Paul says you need a renewed mind. There is a spiritual battle going on for your mind. Paul says we need a renewed mind because if the enemy can control your mind, the enemy controls you. You're taught to renew your mind. That's how you were taught in Christ. So to live this new life, there are some things we take off. Number two, we need a renewed mind. And then finally, verse 24, a new man must put some things on. So in the same way that we take some things off, verse 24 says we put some things on. Look at verse 24. To put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You take off corruption, deceit, bad habits of the past. You put on righteousness and holiness of the truth. You add into your life the ingredients by which you were taught. So the process is not complete until I put the new clothes on. Remember the story told in Luke chapter 11 about a man who had a demon cast out of himself. Jesus paints this picture. The demon was exorcised from this person's life, and the demon wandered about, couldn't find a place to reside, and the demon says to itself, I'm going to go back to my former place where I used to live, come back, and found it swept and clean in order. But nothing was put back in. And so Jesus said the demon just reoccupied that life, and the final state was worse than the former state. They had exorcised the demon, but they had not put anything back in its place. Very often in our lives, we believe if I just go through the process of professing faith in Jesus Christ, of saying I'm going to put off the old man, but we never go through the process of putting on the new man, we realize the process is incomplete. The old man is who we were without Christ. In Christ, there needs to be some spiritual reupholstering that takes place in our lives, some changes, some things that we bring on, that we add into our lives in Christ so that all things become new in righteousness and holiness. So the work of salvation, God takes our callousness and our ignorance, and he turns us back into right relationship with him through Christ and ultimately makes us more like Jesus. So instead of darkness, there's light. Instead of distance, there's proximity. Instead of a hard heart, there's a soft heart. Instead of an unclean heart, there's a clean heart. Instead of a callous heart, there's a sensitivity to the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, there's a very vivid picture. By the time Jesus got there, having intentionally delayed, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Jesus asked them to take him to the place where Lazarus was buried. You remember that visual scene? He wept, and there's that emotional scene there. And then Jesus said, roll the stone away. And after initial objections about smell, they rolled the stone away. And all of a sudden, after a moment of time, here came Lazarus, and he was still bound in grave clothes. Remember what Jesus said? Take off the old clothes. He's a new man. If you've been resurrected with Christ, and you're still wearing those old, dead clothes, you are not living like Christ. One of the most fascinating stories in the Old Testament is found in Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord in a very difficult season. God was trying to reinforce for the people of Judah what it looks like to be a believer, what it looks like to walk in faith. And so in this occasion, he used Jeremiah as a visual example. He told Jeremiah, I want you to go buy a new linen undergarment. That's the nicest way I can say it. Okay? Jeremiah went to the store and bought some new underwear. That's the picture in Jeremiah 13. I'm just telling you what the text says, all right? He went and bought a new linen garment, the closest garment that you wear to your body. Said, wear it around. Ooh, Jeremiah got some new clothes, wore them around. God came back, said, now, Jeremiah, I want you to take them off. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go from where you are to the Euphrates River, 300 miles away. I want you to find a rock, and I want you to take your linen undergarments and bury it, kind of stuff it in there under the rock where the waves are crashing in, and you just leave your linen undergarment there and go on back home. So Jeremiah does that, takes his linen undergarments, walks 300 miles, gets to that wherever that rock is that God had instructed or led him to, stuffed that linen undergarment there and made his way back 300 miles back home. And Jeremiah said, after many days, God instructed me to go back. So he goes back 300 miles, back to that same rock where he was, where he'd buried his linen undergarments, and God said, now take them out and put them on. Jeremiah objects, they're spoiled, they're ruined. I don't want to put that back on. And here's what God said, that's exactly what my people are doing. And they want me to be satisfied with that level of proximity when they are still wearing dirty clothes. Take them off. Don't put them back on. You're new in Christ.
We're so glad to have you listening to this podcast. I hope you found this message encouraging and challenging in your faith. We'd love to invite you to our church, Sunnyvale First Baptist Church, anytime you are available. Now, here's Ed to tell us what's going on at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church this week.
Our benevolence ministry is preparing for their holiday benevolence outreach to help families in need this season. If you know someone in your class, ministry, or even sitting next to you in worship who could use a little extra help, sign them up through the church office. Nominations are open from September 28th through October 12th. Join us on Saturday, October 4th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. in the Lighthouse and Room C101 for training and equipping in evangelism, calling out the called. A special session led by Raul Rodriguez and Pastor David Galvan. We'll be exploring the parable of the sower and learn evangelism essentials to help you grow in confidence and effectiveness as you share your faith. Don't miss this opportunity to be equipped and encouraged. Come ready to take the next step in evangelism. Our annual Fall Festival community event is just around the corner, so mark your calendars for Sunday, October 26th from 4 to 6 p.m. Church family, there are two big ways that you can pitch in. One, you can donate candy by dropping it off in the designated bins at the worship center on Sunday mornings. Two, host a trunk for Trunk or Treat. We're aiming for 20 decorated trunks this year. To help us reach our goal, just sign up through the church office. Join us for an unforgettable night of music and worship as Dino, America's piano showman, takes the stage at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church on Sunday, October 19th at 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now. Just visit sunnyvalefbc.com/events for concert and ticket information. And that's what's happening at Sunnyvale FBC. Once again, thanks for joining us. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time on Sunnyvale FBC Podcast.